The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast, the final podcast of the 2019 season, the last podcast of the decade. And we end it the way Jameis Winston's career started, boys.
With the pick six.
Yes. What do you know?
With the pick six. Wow.
Sleep on that all off season, Jameis.
Or don't.
Or don't.
Or don't sleep.
Just check your sheet.
Just shit the
check,
I'm
your
a baller.
check your sheet.
Check your sheet. He's defiant, Jameis Winston. I like that
a little bit. But, hey,
man,
he's balling.
He's balling.
I don't know if you guys knew that, but he's balling.
If you take away some of those interceptions, he's the best.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
No, like, if you – let's. I mean, we got to think about it objectively, right? If you take away all 30 of his interceptions –
He had the greatest year in quarterback history.
Yes. I mean, without a doubt, you cannot argue that. If you take away all 30 of Jameis Winston's interceptions.
Correct.
Best year for any quarterback in NFL
history. And not just that, the Buccaneers would not be playing next week because they'd have a first round bye.
Yeah, they would.
They'd be playing two weeks from now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the stuff you got to think about
going
into the offseason. You know, when you think about franchise tag or long term or, you know, just how many hundreds of million dollars you're going to give them. Comes down to that.
Listen, it is D-Day in Tampa for this franchise when it comes to decision day for Jameis Winston.
I was going to say, Scott, it's not that bad.
Well, yeah, listen.
We're not storming the beaches of Normandy.
No, we're not doing that. Although,
storming the doors at one buck.
If you've read Twitter, I was going to say there's going to be some storming the doors at One Buccaneer Place as fans will use this entire offseason to vent their frustrations or support for or against Jameis Winston.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because we had so much talk of how much does the last game really matter. And when we talked about that going throughout the week, it was always whether or not they win, right? Like that was the thing. It wasn't this.
Yeah, 7-9 or 8-8.
We've talked about before positive momentum versus negative momentum.
Yeah.
That's real. That's real.
Yeah. Hey, listen, this is 100%. Swear to God truth right here. Your Pewter Report staff, Pewter Nation, as we are getting ready to watch the Buccaneers with their first play of overtime, we all look at each other in the press box and we said, here comes the pick six. Did we not, gentlemen?
No,
did we not call the pick six?
I think every single person on planet Earth probably thought that this was a possibility. And yet, I got to be honest with you. When it happened, I still was like,
this can't
there's
be real.
No right. way.
I knew it was coming.
But we all knew it was coming. But there's no way. There's no way that actually
Your
happens.
Actual quote was, Trevor, I've never wanted Jameis Winston not to throw an interception.
More in my
as
entire
much
life.
As I do right now.
I've never and wanted Jameis.
5 seconds later.
Yes.
I've never wanted Jameis to not throw a pick
after,
more
after
in my
Mark and I looked at
life.
Each other and said, here comes the pick six.
Because I didn't want him to go out like that. I didn't want this team to go out like that. Hey. I didn't want the fans
but,
to go out like that.
But it had to be that way this year because that was the story
That's
of
the
this
fitting
year.
End.
And it was the fitting end. And Bruce Arians said it. The biggest problem this team has, because he said in his postgame press conference, should have been a 10-win season
easily.
And this team beat itself on offense, defense, and special teams today. And the one nagging thing that this team could not really overcome, and you saw maybe the tide was turning down the stretch, but it came back to bite him today. The Buccaneers still beat the Buccaneers.
Jameis Winston could have led the league in interceptions, and they could have won 10 games. If he just didn't lead the league by a mile and a half,
yeah, that's true.
They win 10 games.
Yeah,
well, he throws 24.
Matt Gay doesn't suck. There's two more wins right there.
There's two wins.
I mean, as bad
and
as
he
Jameis,
had a solid
you know,
season overall.
Jameis doesn't throw that last interception.
Yeah,
and guys, there was progress. Jameis didn't throw an interception on the first play of the game.
He didn't.
He
yeah, waited
for the first
yeah.
play of overtime.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
Ronald Jones says, "Hold my beer. I'm going to get this this turnover right here on the first play."
Do we have a sponsor we got to talk about?
Yes, we do. Okay. Chris Garrido, our good friend at West Shore Financial, and Scott Reynolds is going to tell
you why. Has never thrown a pick six in overtime.
Never.
Chris.
Nope. And is still undefeated as the official sponsor. The official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. I'm talking about Chris Garrido and West Shore Financial, folks. Listen, the new year is here. There's no better resolution you can give yourself or your family than financial security. You might think you got enough life insurance to protect your family. You might think you have enough money set away for your retirement. You might be wrong. Pewter Nation, even if you have a financial investment planner or a life insurance representative in your life, why not get a second opinion? Call my personal retirement and life insurance guy, Chris Garrido, at West Shore Financial at 813-434-0037. If you don't have anyone handling your retirement or your life insurance needs, you need to call Chris Garrido at West Shore Financial at 813-434-0037. Ring in the new year with the gift of financial peace of mind with a free, no obligation consultation with West Shore Financial's Chris Garrido. You'll be glad that you did. One little quick aside now that I've read that. True story, Chris Garrido saved me over $350. Just by saying, I want to review all of your financial components. I want to review your auto insurance. I want to review how much you're paying for homeowners insurance. Chris found me an insurance company, and I'm not going to name names, but it's one of the top companies in Florida that will save me $350 on my homeowners insurance. And I have better coverage. Way better coverage with this particular company.
What did that cost you with Chris?
Nothing.
What?
Absolutely nothing.
What?
Nope. He said, send me your information. I'm going to shop it for you. I'm a busy guy. I'm a family man running a company, covering this Buccaneer team. I don't have time to do that kind of stuff. And you know what? He did it for me, saved me $350. It's that kind of service that Chris Garrido can help you in other ways other than just financial investments and life insurance.
Well, I'm going to go check out Chris for sure. And I don't have anything clever to say today. I'm going to see Chris, talk to him. We're going to set something up the second week of January. I'm going to have a meeting with him.
Excellent.
And see if I can sell off some of my... Never mind.
I thought you weren't going to say anything.
I don't even have any t-shirts.
Jameis Winston paraphernalia?
Yeah, my Jameis Winston under 30 INTs in 2019 t-shirts. Damn it.
Wow. Pretty specific shirt. You thought you were pretty safe with
that
one.
Think about it. The guy's never come close to 30 in a year.
Huh? Yeah.
This year. I thought it was the safest bet I was going to make this year.
So, this is the topic, right?
No.
What do you do with him now?
Well, it doesn't change. The last interception apparently was tipped or so Jameis said, and I think Cam said it too. It's just I don't know. You don't want to call it karma. You don't want to call it irony. Whatever you want to call it. It's just a fitting in.
Did they call an out route?
Hmm?
How in the absolute hell did they call an out route?
That's a safe route for Jameis.
Can we talk about that?
Sure. Go for it.
I get that. I guess you can't do play calling scared, but not a chance I'm calling a single out as the hot in the overtime, period. No, not one. Right. Not a single one. I'm not calling an out route. They do that in the first play. They get to pick six. You think that every single team that they play knows that Jameis can't throw an out route?
Was that an out? I have to go back and look. I thought
it
was more of a little...
It wasn't out to the sideline, but I'm pretty sure it was Brate going out towards the sideline. It still counts. He's going out towards the sideline. It wasn't at the sideline, but still.
But Jameis threw for 20 yards in the second half. Did I hear that?
It wasn't a lot. I think he barely had over 200 yards in the game.
Wow.
But, no, so, let's talk about it. This is what everybody's going to want to talk about. How does this affect Jameis Winston going into the offseason? You say it doesn't really?
I think the decision's going to be... I think that it doesn't change. He had two interceptions today. One, the defense bailed him out on when Devin White returned a touchdown.
Yeah.
The second one was a tip pass. That could have been Drew Brees throwing that ball. I don't know. You can't say, well, damn it, because he threw the last pass and it was a pick six, the 5,000 yards don't matter, or the 30-something touchdowns don't matter.
Here's my thing. A lot of it, it all matters, right? I think that's what's important to remember. Mm-hmm. The defense he's had over the last couple of years, that matters. The head coaches he's had over the last couple of years, all that matters. The kicking woes that they've had, that matters, especially today, obviously, with the three missed field goals. But so do the interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jameis Winston wins you football games. He also loses you football games. And I understand that
he keeps both teams in the game.
Right. Jameis Winston will always keep both teams in the game. I think that that's the main thing. This is never going to be a team that's going to decisively be beating teams 35-3 or even like 28-14, 31-14. This is not a team that's ever going to dominate an inferior opponent with Jameis Winston.
They've done it. They beat Atlanta at Atlanta handily.
Jacksonville.
So much
less than they should have.
Yeah.
This is a guy that's always going to keep you in the game. And I think that, you know, especially from watching it today, you don't want to make a big decision off of one game, but we've talked about this in past podcasts. Can we convince ourselves that Jameis Winston can win enough football games to get you to the playoffs? Yeah, I think you can. I don't think you'll ever win a Super Bowl with this guy. And you can clip me on that. You can remember this. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's fine. But that's the way I see it. We're 5 years into it. We're 7 years into a real football competitive career for Jameis Winston, including the two at Florida State. There's only 1 year that he's been able to not have enough turnovers to really get it going. Now, okay, other things around him, they're context that matters.
Yeah.
But you still need your quarterback to not lose you games as much as I think Jameis has lost them games over the last couple of years. So that's kind of where I am with it.
This game, and probably more importantly, the Texans game too, what it has done, how it has affected Jameis Winston's future here, is it has boxed him and the team into one option, franchise tag.
I agree. I completely agree.
If Jameis Winston, without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, had really played turnover-free football, or not the dagger interception, pick six type thing. If he could have won out the stretch and gotten his team to 9-7, then I think a long-term contract extension, when I say long-term, I might even be talking 3 to 4 years here, or 5 to 6, whatever, but I'm saying it could have been a multi-year contract extension, still could have been on the table. But what we saw against the Texans, what we saw against the Falcons today with the pick six, the lack of production from the passing game in the second half of both those games, and again, these games were winnable games. But they lost, and they lost because the offense didn't do enough. Yes, he missed field goals. Yes, the defense didn't do enough, too.
And let's not forget, you've got two Pro Bowl receivers in street clothes on the sideline.
He's literally
– there was a guy on the field today that I could not have picked out of a police lineup.
No, and
– there was a handful of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right. More context goes into it, of course. Because Justin Watson, you know, that first interception's on him. You know, the one before on last week when he's throwing the out to Watson. Watson didn't run a great route. Right. I don't necessarily think it was all on him because it's still a speed out. That's still what you're doing.
Yeah. Right. But my point is and this really kind of speaks to my point, even without Godwin and Evans, if Winston wins those games, they finish 9-7.
How many quarterbacks without their top two receivers even have their team in position to win those games?
I think that's certainly to the credit as well. When you have
Rashard
Perriman
then all of a sudden become a great receiver, but Jameis Winston has made him a better receiver.
There's no doubt that connection in Winston, giving him the ball where he has and how he's improved on the deep ball, that's absolutely into it. But Jameis also played a big role in why they lost against the Texans.
Of course,
he was why they were back in it, no question, but he's why they were losing.
Sure.
And you have to think about that. And the interesting part with what Scott is talking about with the franchise tag, and I kind of agree with you, I think that it's almost got to be the franchise tag now at this point, because I don't think they move on from him. I just don't think it's going to be a one-year thing, and I think it's going to be the franchise tag. But that brings up an interesting, I guess, clash with how this franchise is operated. Franchise tag came into existence in 1993. They used that right away on Gruber, right away that first year that the franchise tag exists. The only other times they've used it since, in I think 25, 26 years, whatever it is, and the tag gets used about 6 times a year around the NFL.
Right.
Bucks have only ever used it 4 times. With Gruber in 93, with
Chidi
Honitoo in 99, who was not a big franchise tag sign, right?
Correct.
Antonio Bryant in 2009, Connor Barth in 2012. Okay, these are not like break the bank contracts. They've never given a franchise tag to a Shaq Barrett, to a JPP, to a whatever Donovan Smith might have been last year when they had that option, or especially to a Jameis Winston. That's just not how they operate.
Here's the deal: we all say it's got to be franchise tag. It doesn't even have to be a franchise tag. But it can't be more than a 1 year deal. And you could go to Jameis and say, we're going to sign you 1 year's $20 million with $15 million in incentives, right? Under 15 interceptions.
He's going to turn it down.
Make the playoff stuff like
that. He's going to turn it down.
Maybe if he believes in himself, if
he's
you
turn
sit
it down.
That press conference,
I think Jameis
that
is,
guy believes in himself.
I think
if you
Jameis
give him an opportunity to earn $35 million versus just 27? I think he takes the 35.
I think James is pissed at being here, if you want my honest opinion. I really do. Like, I don't think it's skin off his back to leave and take a bigger payday. I don't think he's going to give the Bucks a hometown discount.
I think
he really wants
to be here, but I agree. Listen, he came into this situation with a ton of baggage. We all know about the Florida State. He also came into a situation in Florida where half the fan base hated him, right? The Gators fans in general.
No doubt.
So he had that against him. And he's there were preconceived notions, right or wrong, about Jameis Winston as a person and as a football player. It's not the worst thing in the world for this guy to go somewhere else and get
Martin,
a fresh air.
But you know what? Put yourself.
Because they're not still going to write about Jameis Winston,
yourself,
the alleged rapist. Jameis Winston.
But Mark, put yourself in the situation of Chicago or Cincinnati or another quarterback needy franchise, Miami. You think they're going to welcome Jameis Winston with open arms?
No. Yes.
Absolutely not.
He gets made fun of.
Absolutely.
If you think he's made fun of in Tampa, he gets made fun of 100 times more in any other city.
No franchise. Fan base is going
to
want him.
If you think going to the media market like Chicago, I mean, you go on Twitter and people who don't live here are it's crab legs, it's the alleged rape, it's the interceptions. He goes to any city, he's going to get just as
he's
much.
He's not
going to
be welcome.
It's going to be crab legs. It's going to be jokes, and he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt. Here, he has a lot of people that actually like him. Still, even despite all the people that don't like him, the people from the beginning who haven't liked him, the people who don't like him now after what's transpired.
All right, if he goes to Chicago and throws for 5,000 yards and 15 interceptions, everybody will.
Right?
Love
do you think the Bears are fine with Mitch Trubisky?
I don't know.
Everybody,
I don't believe that. I don't. If he does throws for 5,000 yards and 15 interceptions, there's still going to be a segment of the Buccaneer population that has hated him for 5 years, and they're not going to accept this guy. Two Super Bowls, maybe. Then all of a sudden, okay, we like Jameis.
I don't
Winston.
Know. I think
until he throws his next pick six. And then they hate him again.
I think if Jameis goes out there next year and he throws, what's realistic, 4,500 yards, 28 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, they win 11 games, they go to the playoffs, they win one playoff game, get knocked out. What's the fan base saying? Because it sure as hell isn't looking like
I think
like
they'd be ecstatic that they ecstatic. Go to the playoffs for the first time.
I absolutely think so.
But and I think I think Chicago would definitely want a player like Jameis Winston, though. I mean, it's been so bad with Mitch Trubisky that – at this
and
point,
before that, you had the
you
Jay
have the
Cutler.
Opportunity to get a player like Jameis. Yeah. We always talk about the talent and the potential and everything that he brings.
Actually, I mentioned Jay Cutler, and Jay Cutler was a turnover machine,
no,
too.
Right,
a guy,
right.
talented football
you know, they,
player,
right.
a gunslinger.
But they went to an NFC championship
but I
game
just,
with
you know,
him.
Going back to the contract thing, and Scott, you probably know about this more than me, but just from being around you and listening to you talk about how the Bucks do a lot of salary stuff, I don't think they like using franchise tags. They'd rather do a deal where they have a lot more control of whatever it is. So
sure. I don't think in this situation they mind. And I say that because they would be on the hook for 1 year and 1 year only.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even if they sign him to a multi-deal, then the first 2 years that money is going to be guaranteed. It's going to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins has $84 million guaranteed
right.
on a three-year
right.
deal in Minnesota.
Look at Nick Foles in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so my point is
And they gave him $50 million just to feel good about themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And you
got to
remember, too, the Buccaneers picked up the fifth-year option for Jameis Winston, $20.92 million. The franchise
tag. Talking seven and a half more.
Franchise tag is going to be around $27 million. That's actually about $6
million more. Yeah. Salary cap's going up.
The most important thing will be, and we've seen Bruce Arians come in and wrap his arms around Jameis Winston. He's my guy. I'm the quarterback whisperer. He didn't say that. We all did in the media. But it's one of those things where it's like, we're going to clear the deck. We're not going to re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're going to bring in Blaine Gabbert, who knows my offense, and he's no threat to Jameis Winston. We're going to re-sign Ryan Griffin.
I promise you he would have played if he would have got hurt this year. At some point this year, Blaine Gabbert would have been in this offense after that Carolina game in London.
Yeah, maybe, for sure. You know? But here's my point is when it comes to this offseason, are they going to clear the deck for Jameis Winston? I don't think so. I think they're going to hedge their bets. I think they're going to find another quarterback to come in. And listen, I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that Jameis Winston gets the franchise tag. And I know this is probably going to make some of you out there in Peter Nation violently ill, perhaps. But if this Buccaneer team believes it can get its defense back intact – and that they can simply win games on defense today by keeping opponents to 20-some points rather than giving up 35 like they did earlier in the season.
I mean, let's be honest. They held the Falcons to 16 points.
Correct.
And they did so even with turnovers, you know, and a field goal helping them.
Sure. And Sean Murphy Bunting missed the whole fourth quarter and all that with the high ankle sprain.
Tampa should have won this game 28-13, honestly.
Correct. So having said that,
I left 9 points on the field too.
So having said that,
no, so I'm saying the Bucks were the ones with the two extra field goals, and the Falcons were the one. Okay.
Does Bruce Arians and Jason Light and Todd Bowles, do they sit there and they say to themselves, if we just don't kill ourselves, if we just don't lead the league in turnovers with a guy like Andy Dalton, can we manufacture 10 wins?
You can't manufacture 10 wins with Andy Dalton. That's the thing. I mean, you look at the options, like Eli Manning and Andy Dalton. Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers, first of all, has 8 kids. Do you know he drives from San Diego to Los Angeles? His family doesn't even live in Los Angeles. He's not bringing those guys to Florida.
I agree.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So now you're looking at
Andy Dalton,
a 14th, 15th round draft pick. Who's that going to be?
You mean like overall pick.
Number one,
round.
I'm sorry. A first round pick.
Well, yeah, so let's talk about that. I did a mock draft for Draft Network last week, and I had them take in Jordan Love in the first round, and I kind of just did it basically to say like, hey, you know, we talked about this on the podcast. I don't know if this happens, but if you're not sold on Winston, you should probably invest a decently high pick in a quarterback. You're not like signing Winston to a franchise tag and then drafting a fifth rounder, right? So do we think that a world exists where they sign Winston to a franchise tag and
what was Jordan Love's stat line at Utah State this year?
A lot of interceptions.
How many?
16.
And he had what, 18 touchdowns?
17.
So he had 17 touchdowns and 16 interceptions.
Yes.
And you're going to replace a guy that had 32 touchdowns? 33 touchdowns for Winston.
And
30 interceptions with a guy, a rookie, who threw for 17 touchdowns and 16 picks.
To be fair, the year before, he threw for 32-6.
Correct.
So that's just kind of like, to be fair there. And the other side of the coin is...
Sounds a lot like Jameis Winston's college career.
Well, right. But the thought process here is, we've already talked about that in Bruce's offense, you have to have a guy to stretch the field. Okay. Yeah. Jacob Eason's not going to do it. Jalen Hurts isn't going to do it.
Jacob Eason can do that. He's got a strong arm.
You
mean Jordan?
No, Jake Fromm. Fromm's not going to do it. Jalen Hurts isn't going to do it. Jacob Eason probably could, I don't really think Jacob Eason's that good. But that's kind of just my take there. So the only other quarterback that I think outside of the top guys that are going to get picked, Herbert, I would listen to entertain. But the only other guy is really Jordan Love, and it's just if you think you can make him better.
Right.
The Bucs thought that with Jameis Winston. Bruce Arians even thought that with Jameis Winston last year. He even said, like, I don't give a damn what somebody else has done with him.
Right.
Well, I don't care until I get my hands on a guy.
Right.
So that's why I think it might be a possibility. And here, there's a difference. People are saying, like, oh, how can you replace a guy like Jameis Winston with a guy who had a year, Jordan Love? I hear you. I'm not ignorant to that.
Right.
But Jordan Love is also, what, like 21-20, and he just played 2 college seasons. Jameis Winston is 26, played 2 college seasons and 5 NFL seasons, and this is what you got. Yeah. So that's my only thing there.
But you said something about, in Bruce Arians' offense, an arm that can stretch the field.
Yes.
Now, those type of throws, I mean, look, Byron Leftwich could go in the lab tomorrow and design an offense for next year where Jameis Winston throws 5 interceptions. Dink and dunk, little dump-off passes, West Coast-style offense. That's not the style. Whoever's in this offense is probably going to be in the top 5 in interceptions, wouldn't you say?
Especially if it's a rookie.
I think they're going to
be 30.
Yeah, top 10, probably.
Regardless.
Yeah, like top 10. They're going to throw a lot of picks.
Right.
That is what we said last week. If Jameis throws even just 18 interceptions, the team's got a chance to be in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs.
He just can't. Well, NFC's strong this year, so that's why I say a chance. But he just can't go nuclear.
Right.
But he goes nuclear.
Yes.
That's the thing.
But you know what?
Will somebody else throw a lot of picks but not go nuclear?
He had the nuclear game against Cincinnati last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the nuclear game against
Carolina.
And he had, I'm talking about the previous seasons.
Oh.
In his career. He had the nuclear game against Tennessee in his very first game.
Right.
What we've seen this year is not really anything like we've seen. This is new. And the
it's
only
worse
difference
in
is,
some ways.
You know, it is worse.
7 pick sixes, right? You know, we had 7? Is that the
7
number?
Pick sixes,
7
yes.
pick sixes.
I mean,
one that was called back because of a holding on the return. Remember the second Texans one?
Yeah.
So it could have been 8.
Right.
Yeah. It really could have been 8.
Well, I mean, again, he's going to throw some interceptions, and he's going to make throws that we all shake our head at. Look, the ball that he threw to Perriman down in the end zone, he threw that ball late. Most quarterbacks aren't throwing. We saw Matt Ryan. He would have thrown that ball 9 yards into the stands, right?
Yeah.
You know, but again, I guess you could – then you can make the argument Matt Ryan's better because he does throw the ball 9 yards in the stand. He's willing to throw it in the stands and kick a field goal and end up – how many field goals did they
Matt
have
Ryan
today?
Didn't throw that a pick six today. That was the difference. Yeah, yeah. Matt Ryan didn't throw a pick six today.
I agree.
And yeah.
He also didn't throw for 5,000 yards this year.
I know.
Or 30 – you know, and 81.
And the Falcons finished the year – Second in the
NFC South.
And we were talking
it's
about
just
Dan
wild.
Quinn
there's
being
so,
fired a few
There's
weeks ago.
So much good and bad to consider. A lot of people outside the Tampa media, they look at a lot of this and they just go, there's no way you can keep this guy. There's just right. no way. And a lot of his stats are very damning. And when they say, like, I don't know how much this would fly on other teams, I agree with them.
Yeah.
But this team needs a gunslinger.
Sure.
They have to have it.
Yeah, that's
Jameis
what
is a gunslinger.
And in Arians' offense, you need a guy with
that's
that mentality.
Right. There's so
and
much context.
Part of the problem is all three quarterbacks are not under contract in 2020 for the Buccaneers. So if you get rid of Jameis, you're starting at zero. You do not have a quarterback. You have to find one in free agency, and or you got to draft one. And you really have to do
both.
And
I don't think
they're
going to want to do that.
I don't think they're going to want to either. But the thing is, and I think the X factor this year, as opposed to other years, will be, hey, we think we have something special going on defense. And do we want to risk great defensive performances getting washed away with more pick sixes from Jameis Winston, or do we want to go with a little bit more conservative route? Don't get me wrong. I don't think this is a Super Bowl caliber defense. The only time I see Warren Sapp out there on the field is when he's on the sidelines congratulating Shaq Barrett for beating his record. I think there's some very good players on defense. Huh?
Was he on the sideline?
So
what
up the
clip? Oh, okay. All right. Shit.
So, but what I'm saying is – this is not a Super Bowl-ready defense. I think it's a defense that's making strides, and it's a defense that's capable of taking this team to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's as far as I'm willing to go with them right now, especially with the young secondary.
Yeah.
But the Bucs' offense was with a game manager, caretaker, occasional playmaker in Brad Johnson, and that was the recipe. That was the formula. They needed somebody better than Sean King. That person was Brad Johnson. Is Brad Johnson the type of prolific passer that Jameis Winston is? Absolutely not. But Brad Johnson did enough offensively to put points on the board and protect the ball.
Well,
and the defense was good enough, actually great enough, to take them all the way. And I still think this team is far away from the Super Bowl, but this team needs to take a step. Jason Light, as the general manager, needs to take a step. Mm-hmm. The Glazers want desperately, after this awful decade of football, to take a step.
Yeah.
And so I think the X factor is how good does this organization believe the defense is, and would Jameis Winston be a hindrance to that defense or a compliment? And right now, it's a toss-up.
It just needs to be complimentary, right?
Yes.
I mean, no matter what it is. You talked about complimentary on the flip side earlier when they won a Super Bowl, how the offense was kind of just did it what they did enough to not ruin it for the defense. Now it's obviously going to be switched. Football's different. This team's built different. Now it's Jameis Winston and the offense are going to put up enough points and yards to get you in games. But you know that also comes with risk. So when I look at the defense, them taking that next step isn't necessarily maybe with less yards, but I would say more turnovers.
Yes.
You have to give the complimentary way for this defense to help out the offense is they have to give them extra possessions.
Correct.
The Bucs are probably going to be, it's just the fact, in a lot of games where they're giving up more than 20 points. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. But if they get one or two extra interceptions, whatever it is, if they get just a couple of extra turnovers here or there throughout the season, that is what is going to be the difference, as long as, once again, Jameis doesn't go nuclear.
You know what could stop some of these pick sixes? If Jameis had a gaff, right? And they're running back and he just grabs them with a gaff.
That's
and
true.
Chokes them down. Then they don't score. They may bleed out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he might get arrested for assault, possibly
manslaughter. You could buy gaffs. It's perfectly legal to buy gaffs. and there's only one place to buy a gaff. In the Tampa Bay area.
One place?
The only place.
Oh, wow.
If you want the best deal.
Okay.
And the best selection of gaffs.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's at T.A. Mahoney's, located at 50th Street in Atomo.
Right.
They have a gaff selection like you would not believe, my friends. Plus flare guns. Plus hooks. plus sunglasses, plus apparel, plus anything you need for your marine needs. Scott, do you have a boat?
I don't have a boat yet.
If you had a boat and it had a hole in the bottom because you ran out of ground and you wanted to fix it yourself, where would you go?
I would go to T.A. Mahoney's.
Why?
Because it's the best place to go in the Tampa Bay area for my boat repair needs.
That's right. And you could do it yourself. You could buy the materials actually at T.A. Mahoney's.
No, I could not do it myself.
I would pay
T.A. Mahoney's to do it.
No, YouTube video it. You can do it, I promise.
No, I would not do
it. Little fiberglass resin,
you're
safe.
I'm awful at fixing
things.
Sandpaper,
you're fine.
I would pay T.A. Mahoney's in their service department, which is phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
To do it the right way, because those are the true professionals, not me.
That's true.
But
what
if there was another enterprising young person or older person out there that has the gumption and the willpower to fix it themselves, they can get all the materials they need at
T.A. Mahoney's.
There you go.
I repaired a surfboard once from T.A. Mahoney's. Went and bought the cloth, the resin, the hardener, and the fiberglass, everything I needed to repair a surfboard. So even if you don't have a boat, maybe you have a paddleboard, maybe you have a surfboard, need some repairs. They have the material. That's what I'm trying to say. Anything in the marine realm, as far as your boat, your paddleboard, anything you have that floats, T.A. Mahoney's can help you out. Go check them out online, tamahoney.com. 50th Street in Atomo, been in business since 1948 and a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Out?
No.
Not
one
yet,
more
sorry.
Thing before we're out. A big deal tomorrow night. DeMar Dotson, I say tomorrow, today is Sunday, tomorrow night is Monday, will be at Ford's Garage in West Chase. He will be there from 7 to 9. We're going to have some great raffle prizes, including a Cam Brate autographed helmet. Not sure if Cam autographed it or Trevor, but it is a helmet with Cam's name signed on it.
It's a helmet with Cam Brate's name on it.
No, it actually is. This one has a COA for Brian Ford, so it's legit.
I'll get a mini helmet, okay. And I'll write the name in... regular text,
sure.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Do it.
And I'll just, that, it'll be, yeah.
Hey, listen, speaking of Jason Pierre-Paul, we would be remiss if we did not comment on the end of the season. This guy had
five sacks in the last two games.
One of the things that Bruce Arians and Jason Light will talk about is bringing him back. But Bruce Arians talked about Jason Pierre-Paul at the press conference after the game and said, we really missed his energy in September.
Yep. I would take him back over Shaq Barrett.
They're not necessarily doing that. They're bringing them both back.
Don't choose. You don't have to. Neither of these guys can leave.
They gotta be back.
Yeah. No chance.
Jason Pierre-Paul will be a defensive captain next year.
Absolutely.
Carl Nassib will be the odd man out, unfortunately. I like Carl a lot.
Is Carl going to be on the team?
Carl will not be on the team.
Okay, great.
I mean, it's gonna,
breaking news.
It's going to be Anthony Nelson will be replacing Carl Nassib in the rotation. That's why he was drafted.
Unless Carl wants to sign for $1 million a year. Or something.
Yeah, unless Carl comes incredibly cheap. But I love Carl's tenacity and all that. But
oh yeah, didn't mean great. As in like great. Carl's gone. Carl's awesome. I meant like sarcastically great. Like Scott just broke the news on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But Jason Pierre-Paul, 8.5 sacks in the last 10 games.
Yeah.
And I got to think that when you look at when he came back, this team's been 5-3 down the stretch. Should have been 6-2 at least, right? Mm-hmm. If they win today, they've been after a 2-6 start, they would have been 6-2 to finish the season, but they finished 5-3 down the stretch. And I got to think that they wouldn't be 2-6 if Jason Pierre-Paul had been there healthy from day
Absolutely
one.
Absolutely not. And he would
He's a difference maker.
He would be him and Shaq would have been one hell of a battle. To see who led this team in sacks.
And Shaq, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Shaq Barrett might not have broken Warren Sapp's record because Jason Pierre-Paul might have come close to.
You
might be looking at two guys with 14 sacks apiece.
Yeah, can't let him out of the building, either of them. No chance.
No.
And you know what?
I don't think
he wants to go anywhere. I think.
No, I don't think he does either.
Being a Florida guy, I think that he wants to stay here. And from everything that our sources are telling us, Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, even Carl Nassib, we'll see if the math works.
Yeah.
Ndamukong Suh, these guys want to stay here. They love playing for Todd Bowles. They
well,
love being
on this
team.
Man. Why wouldn't
they? Yes.
Why would you want to uproot your family, go somewhere else, jump in a new scheme that you don't know that's going to really mold itself around your talents? And that is what Todd Bowles has been able to do with this front seven.
Mm-hmm.
He's been able to find what they do best and put them in the best position to
and
succeed.
Yeah,
not all teams do that.
For his heartbreaking is obviously the last play of this 2019 season was, if they go into the offseason and they can keep Byron and Bowles,
that's a huge win.
And if they can draft an offensive tackle, an interior defensive player, a secondary guy who can get turnovers, and a running back at some point, I mean, this is a pretty complete team. Yeah. We're looking at a young team,
right,
but a complete team. And you go
with
into
the biggest
next
question
year,
mark being the quarterback
of
position
course,
still.
Of course. That's obviously to say that it all revolves around the quarterback and what happens with Jameis. But there's a lot of things to like about this roster and this coaching staff. It's all just going to come down to Jameis. I know that's, you know, we often say like quarterback gets too much blame, too much credit. But they're about to be in a situation where when you look at this roster top to bottom, if they, like right. I said, get another running back decently high, mm-hmm. upgrade the offensive line, get another playmaker in the secondary, and add some beef along that defensive line, ain't much more you could ask
well,
for.
Well, if ifs
it's
and
just
buts were candy and
it's
nuts,
just execution at
Christmas.
That point, and you yeah. got to have the guys to execute.
Listen. You know, this is kind of a crazy thought here. And Mark, you know, you've been with me for how long have you been here? Almost a decade now, right? Yeah. You're approaching that. Yep. This is going to be year 25 for me, covering the Buccaneers in 2020, my 25th year. And one of the wildest things that I saw from our PewterReport.com fan base was the debate between Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota in 2015 leading up to the draft. And even really in 2014, during that college football season, when you had Mariota and you had Jameis Winston, and you know they even fought head to head against each other
right.
out there on the Rose Bowl when Oregon and Florida State played each other. But that was a debate that raged the entire offseason. You had people in the pro Jameis Winston camp and people in the pro Marcus Mariota camp. Now, 5 years later, after Winston begins his Bucs career with a pick six and potentially ends it with another pick six, you have the same dynamic, and it's going to be on Twitter. It's going to be on our PewterReport.com message boards all offseason. Do you want Jameis back? Do you not want him back? Do you support Jameis Winston? Are you against Jameis Winston?
And they were such quote-unquote can't-miss guys. Like Marcus Mariota yeah. and Jameis Winston coming out. It was literally like 1A, 1B.
Can't go wrong with
whichever
one.
One you get.
Yeah.
You,
that was by some, though. I mean, again, I'm not knocking Mariota, but, like,
yeah.
but I mean, Scott and
yeah,
I,
we
and
didn't
plenty
feel
of
that
other
way,
people
but
saw
there were
you know,
people that said that for
yeah,
sure. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Marcus Mariota would – hey, you talk about options, right? Does anybody want to see Marcus Mariota try and run a Bruce Arians offense next year?
No.
No.
He's
not that kind of quarterback.
Nope. I'll take Jameis and his 30 interceptions before I take, you know, Marcus in this offense.
And one thing that adds is, I hate to say this, but I'm looking at this last pass, this pick six. That ball was knocked super wobbly at the line. That ball was batted down. It was a curl route from Brait, and it was batted.
Yeah, I was watching
pretty
on the TV over there. It definitely did get tipped,
I mean,
which
man,
adds into it.
He's thrown 30 of them, and there's so many excuses
it's
for so many of them.
It's crazy because that play
and you
was...
hate to be it. You hate to be like that guy that's just like making the excuse because Jameis has made so yeah. many that are so inexcusable that eventually gets old. But like we literally just said, the one was probably on Justin Watson, the first one. He never got his head around. I don't know what route he was running. And then looking back at that one was batted.
That last interception was just... It was so predictable, yet still so stunning at the same time
so
that he throws a pick six on the first overtime play. I like to go back to when they interviewed Brett Favre on the SiriusXM radio. We did I think Mark wrote a story about it, but they asked him about Jameis and Brett obviously have been compared with their careers about turning the ball over, the number of touchdowns, and Brett pretty much said, obviously I'm taking this out of context, but he said along the lines of, yeah, this guy's going to throw a lot of touchdowns, and he will turn the ball over, but can you kind of manage that, and can you still win games with those interceptions? We're finding out now. The answer is kind of yes and no, because we've seen games that the Bucs have won because of Jameis Winston, but then you also see games like today and last week against the Texans where they lost because of Jameis Winston. And that's why they went 7-9 this
again,
year.
I'm not
Jameis
making excuses.
Winston's going to be 47 on his 18th contract, and we're still going to be like, damn.
You guys
– that throw last week?
You guys heard
still
me last week.
Still untapped potential.
But on that pass to Brait, are they even throwing that pass to Brait if Godwin and Evans are on the field? I mean, again, it's all context, and it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the stat sheet says he threw two interceptions, pick six.
I think it doesn't
game.
Matter in the fact that he's going to be back next year. Yeah. You don't got to argue it that hard because I think that regardless,
he'll
he's
get
back
the franchise
in,
tag.
He's
look,
back
look,
in 2020.
We are, and again, I'm Matt Gay is going to hit some big kicks and he's going to miss some. All kickers do. He makes a kick, one of those kicks today, the game's over. And one out of three, if he makes one out of three, if he makes the game against the Giants, this team is a 9-7 football team right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? 9-7 with a guy who threw 30 interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would have thrown 29.
Jameis will throw less. Yeah,
in that instance,
yeah.
He would have thrown 29.
And he's going to throw less next year. I don't know if it's going to be 28 or if it's going to be 15.
You don't know that he's going to throw less next year.
He's going to throw less. You know how I know that?
What, are you going to start printing shirts like you did this year?
Every quarterback under Bruce Arians has his worst year in his first year.
Chris Garino, come get your man before he makes the bad decision.
Carson threw 22 his first year, didn't throw 14 after that. 14 was the most that he threw in 3 years in Arians' offense after that. They do tend to come down a little bit.
Now, he's going to be back, I think, for 2020.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I think he should be, and no matter how crazy I was last week.
Well, guys, just to end this podcast, I wanted to thank this entire Pewter Report staff for all of your hard work. Taylor, Grizz, Jenkins, Trevor Sikkema, enjoyed having you back for another year. Hopefully
yeah,
that
course.
Continues.
It was a lot of fun.
Matt Matera, thank you so much for producing the Pewter Nation podcast and for all your hard work. Mark Cook.
And behind the imaginary glass.
Yeah, exactly. Mark Cook, appreciate your contributions as always. And
can you come up with one? I mean, you tell all these guys what they did with me, yeah. And just like, appreciate you kind of being here. You know, just
yeah.
One.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
I appreciate you making me black eyed peas in the media room.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good. You brought the black eyed peas.
Oh,
yeah.
The cook.
No,
it.
Listen, seriously, Pewter Nation, these guys are fantastic. I've been witness to watch them work their asses off for you all the way from last January at the East West Shrine Game, where we're going to be in just a couple of weeks, previewing the next round of Buccaneer draft picks, to the Senior Bowl, to the NFL Scouting Combine, to the NFL Owners Meetings, to the OTAs, the press conferences, the draft, the mini camps, training camp, and then boom, 2020 will be here
news
again.
In between. Yep, I mean, there's going to be a ton of news this offseason, guys. There's not going to be any head coaching change, but there's could be some turnover on the staff. Certainly
wow,
be turnover on the roster.
It.
Yeah, turnovers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's the headline. Bucks can't stop
Apple turnovers, even cherry turnovers, and Winston turnovers.
Even in the offseason.
No, here's a bet. Jameis will not commit a turnover between now and next September.
What's your favorite kind of turnover, Apple or Winston?
Oh, Apple, absolutely. Yeah, I don't like Winston turnovers. Do not enjoy Winston turnovers. As I was mentioning, Damar Dotson tomorrow night, Ford's Garage, West Chase, come out. We're going to have some great merchandise. Ford's has been a sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast since its inception. We appreciate all they do. But definitely come out, hang out with Damar. He's a good dude. We expect a good crowd. We're going to have some great raffle prizes and things like that. So come out to Ford's Garage. They're going to have $6 chicken something. I forgot what it is. What do
chicken
you call
tenders?
It? Dip, some sort of dip.
Buffalo chicken dip.
Yes, for $6. And $9 for that huge funnel thing of
onion rings.
Oh, yeah. 69.
Nice. 69.
That's DeMar's number. 69.
69.
Nice.
See how we did that?
69.
Wine and dine them. All right, for Matthew Matera, for Trevor DeGriz Jenkins, for Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook. Sam, we will see you in the future with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out. Happy New Year. Out.
Bucks out.
Out.
72hourprint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com.